just getting the thought in your head, and then you'll start recognizing those opportunities. Those opportunities may always be there, but just the fact that you're open to them now, you like start paying attention.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I'm your host, Yonah Weiss, and it is such a pleasure to have you guys listening with me today. And I'm so fortunate that I have Jose Morales all the way from Ventura County, California, Camarillo. So Jose, just a little background so you guys know. We're talking to the number one, like top rated real estate broker in the entire county, okay? Ventura County is not a small county, okay? I'm originally from Los Angeles County. It borders, okay, we're talking a huge market over there, and he's doing amazing stuff and has been doing it for many years, been selling real estate for 8 years, sold over 400 properties. Okay, guys, do the math. That's a lot. That's like a property a week, basically, like every other week, you're like selling a property for the last 8 years. That's crazy. So he attributes his success to his work ethic that his immigrant parents have taught him. And so along with that, he is also a real estate investor, not just, you know, a huge, very successful broker and realtor, but he is an investor himself who owns a portfolio worth, as the airing of this episode, over $7 million, but that's going to probably 10x itself by the time you guys are listening to this. So it's my pleasure to do this, Jose. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And you know, Jose and I first got introduced, and this kind of speaks to what the kind of person he is. You know, if you guys listen to this, you know who I am. You're following on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and that kind of stuff. You know that I do cost segregation. That's kind of my full-time day job. I just hang out on podcasts, you know, my free time. Now, the one thing I have to say is that I get people reaching out to me all the time saying like, hey, how come my CPA didn't tell me about this, you know, crazy cost segregation thing? And the one thing that, you know, surprised me about Jose was that he came at it from like a totally different angle. He was like, I heard about this cost segregation thing. I read in a book, you know, I'm reading about this. I'm like, wait a second, I'm making bank. Okay. Selling a lot of, and I'm paying too much tax. Yeah. Too much income tax. And then I read this book and it says that real estate investors should not be paying income tax if they're doing it right. So something's not working. He figured out and he tried to figure out a way to go about doing that. So that's my little introduction. Maybe you have a different version of the story, but.
No, I was just tired of paying too much in taxes. You know, like the reality was I knew how to make the money. I knew how to invest the money. I just didn't know how to keep the money. Meaning that like I was a good saver, but half of my profit was going to Uncle Sam on a yearly basis. So whenever I have any sort of problem, I read a book that someone wrote on that subject, and that typically helps me out tremendously. So that's pretty much it. And that's how we came across. We came across, looked you up on Facebook or came across your Facebook page. I was looking for a cost segregation specialist. Your thing said cost segregation, nothing else. I was like, all right, my guy, you know, I wasn't looking for somebody that did cost segregation, this, that. I was looking for somebody that knew what they were doing. And since then, I mean, obviously we did that 25 unit apartment together. And obviously I've sent you a couple more deals for you to analyze for me in regards to that. So I'm extremely happy to know you.
Right. And, you know, it's a difference between like from 1 year to the next, literally like paying hundreds of thousands of dollars out of your hard-earned money to the government to the next year paying zero.
To federal taxes. Yeah. My accountant emailed me and he says, all right, you're going to pay $0 in federal taxes. And I told him like, is this like true? Is this like for real? So now like it changed my perspective, Yonah, because now when I look at investments, I'm not only analyzing the cash on cash return. I'm not only just analyzing like ROI or my net operating income, I'm analyzing like, what can this do for me in terms of taxes? You know, like, can I save some money in terms of taxes? And if I can, then, I mean, even if it's not the best ROI or even if it's not the best cash on cash return, maybe I'm taking slightly less than what I'm making. But if I'm saving $200,000, $300,000 in taxes, that alone makes it worth it, you know, because that's $300,000 extra in my pocket that I get to keep to invest into something else. So,
absolutely. What point drove you into real estate? Like, you know, you've been doing it for 8 years, but where did you get that spark that's like, hey, I want to look into becoming a real estate broker?
Yeah. So growing up, my parents invested in real estate. So I was blessed enough to like, my dad had his own business, but everything that he would make, he would dump it into real estate. So he probably owns about a $5 million portfolio. And it's mainly comprised of fourplex, triplex, duplex. And I kind of saw what that did for him. Mm-hmm. But from a young age, I was always like, I would help him collect rents. So people would, I would help him lease out the buildings as well too. And I kind of saw that over time, the rents would increase, the debt would be paid down, and essentially it gave him a really good spread. So that encouraged me. And then we had friends that were in the business. So my parents had family friends. And I was intrigued by it because my dad had his business, but in his business, he was stuck at a certain location. So I didn't want to be at a certain location. He sold retail like cowboy clothes, cowboy hats, and I didn't want to have inventory. So I wanted to be in the service business where I am able to not carry large inventory and basically just serve people and do a good job at it. And I didn't want to work for anybody else. So that helped me out.
So yeah, you have that entrepreneurial set and now you have people working for you, right? You have a whole team under you of brokers selling real estate.
Yeah, it's a small team, but we're very productive and very efficient.
Obviously. So what are some of the attributes, you know, things that you would attribute to that productivity within your real estate business?
I would say just focusing on income producing activities. But like for our salespeople, we divided it up by either you're a salesperson or you're an admin person. Like the job for the salespeople is basically to focus on income producing activities, meaning lead generating, setting appointments, going on appointments and getting contracts signed. The job of our admin is once we get the contract signed is to give them the contracts and for them to basically take care of everything else from that point forward. Not only does that provide a higher level of customer service, because instead of having one person trying to like a lot of things, it makes it so that there's one person handling a certain department. And then it makes people get really good at what they do, you know? So like if you do something over and over and over and over and over again, you get really, really good at it. And it just becomes very simple after a while.
Absolutely. And you're not bogged down by having to do, you know, all these other odds and ends of things that in a lot of service, you know, industries, sometimes a person may be called upon to have multiple aspects that they have to be responsible for. And, you know, what you've kind of done sounds like you've streamlined the process where you have different people doing totally different roles that are complementing each other.
And it wasn't always like that, you know, meaning like when I got started, I was doing everything, you know, like when I got started, I was a one man show, you know. I saved a lot of money, so I invested the money. I had cash flow coming in, so I hired my first assistant. But when I got started, I was juggling all the balls. So essentially, I worked my way up there. The vision was always this, meaning like I always envisioned myself running a company. But obviously, I mean, it took time and energy and mistakes and training people having people not work out. So it's been a learning curve throughout. But I mean, obviously, I feel like I'm at a stage in my life and my business where things are starting to click. And I feel like I'm barely beginning to understand everything like fully, like everything from like, this is my first year that I don't pay any taxes.
Yeah.
To like that alone was a big breakthrough, you know, to now we've had our staff, we haven't had any turnover in staff. We haven't had any turnover in salespeople. Everybody's doing great. So I feel like it's all finally clicking.
That's amazing. Yeah, this should continue to do so. I mean, that's amazing. What I just see behind you, anyone who's watching this as a video, and obviously many of you are listening to this and it's just audio, but you know, I'm looking at, you know, behind Jose in his office over there, you got like all this stuff hanging up on the wall there. I mean, it's just like, it's like a vision. Is that a vision board? What is that back there?
Vision boards from like previous years. So the cool one is right here. It's like two apartments right there. And they're like crossed off already because I bought them already. So essentially the goal for 2018 was to purchase two apartments. It didn't happen in 2018. It actually happened in one of them happened in 2017 and one of them happened in 2020. But I ended up purchasing a 7-unit and a 25-unit apartment. And when I put them on there, I was like, it was just a thought. You know, I read a book on purchasing like larger apartment complexes. And when I first read it, I was like, man, that would be so cool if one day I own it. And I mean, I've been lucky enough that where the opportunities presented themselves and I had the right knowledge and I was able to pull the trigger on both of them, you know? So that was like really helpful, but it started with a thought, you know? And then essentially now the latest book that I read is on mobile homes. And I started that on Friday. And then on Monday, I went to go look at one already. So
that's awesome.
Just like, hey, look, mobile homes. All right, let's check them out, you know? So
that's awesome. That's, you know, taking the knowledge and integrating it and taking action.
Yeah.
Love that. Now, when you talk about investing in apartment buildings, all of the stuff that you're looking at is in the vicinity, right? You're local, right? All of your investment properties.
Yeah. So a lot of people tell me like, hey, look, I buy out of the area because there's no good deals in my marketplace.
Yeah.
And I find that in most marketplaces, there are some good deals. You just have to like really look. And I think that a lot of people like their mindset is there's no good deals in my marketplace. So if your mindset is that, you're going to miss the good opportunity. So what I did to kind of like psych myself out, I basically went back in time and I have access to the MLS and I look back like 2-3 years and I look back at all of the deals that sold, all of the apartments, all of the multi-unit. And I found like 2 or 3 that I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that this sold at this price.
Right.
Or wow, that was an amazing deal. And that's how I convinced myself that there were good deals in every market. And luckily I haven't had to go outside of my market yet because I've been able to find good opportunities in my market. But I think a lot of it has to do with mindset. A lot of it has to do with just telling myself there are good deals and I'm going to be the one that buys that good deal. And just basically having that right mindset about it. And luckily, I mean, we're very well connected with attorneys. We're very well connected with accountants. We're very well with clients. So we've done a good job letting them know that we are buyers for those. So
are you primarily the clients that you service? Are they, you know, homeowners? Are they investors? What's your type of clientele that you're working with? Because obviously a totally different mindset in terms of who you're working with.
I'm mainly dealing with residential clients, but because of what I've been doing in my personal life in terms of buying commercial buildings and that, I've been kind of shifting a little bit to deal with that type of client. Personally, 99.9% of my business is sellers. That's all it is. So it's
sellers. Ah, gotcha.
It's basically sellers. So like I'm not dealing with like many investors. I'm basically representing just people who need to sell a property for whatever reason. Then I have a couple of buyer's agents that work with me that represent the buyers. So I'm talking to people that need to sell. And I have a seller right now who I'm going to be selling a property for. And I talk to him and he tells me, well, look, I have 3 apartment complexes that I inherited in Delano, California, Fresno, California, and somewhere else. And we start talking. He's like, yeah, I don't want them. I inherited them and I want to sell them. So sometimes like even those residential people that you talk to, they have people, but like you just have to be aware of what you want and what you're looking for. Like the old me, like 3 years ago, apartment complexes weren't in my mind. So he would have said, oh, I've got a couple of apartment complexes. And I would have been like, oh, whatever, you know? But now as soon as I hear the word apartment complex or mobile home parks or commercial buildings, like my ears are like, what? Like, what did you say? And it's like, I'm able to capture that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a really good job helping him sell his single family. And then if he wants to sell the other ones, maybe I can make him an offer on those, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great opportunity. That really speaks to the business in general. You know, when your mind is open, to notice things, you end up noticing them.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, the opportunities only come to someone when they're ready for it.
Yeah. I think that's the main thing, just getting the thought in your head, and then you'll start recognizing those opportunities. Those opportunities may always be there, but just the fact that you're open to them now, you like start paying attention.
Absolutely. And exactly what you said, there are opportunities in front of you. You just have to kind of open your eyes. And sometimes our eyes are blind because we're only looking at certain things. And it's all about perspective, right? If you are looking at something for a long time, you know, just in terms of vision, you don't see the periphery. You're just not focused on that. So everything just looks like a blur. And you notice this, like sometimes when you see something, like let's say you drive by or you notice like a car on the street, right? And then all of a sudden you notice that car and then you keep noticing the same car over and over again. Why? Because the first time it came into your vision, that like made an impression in your mind. Before that, it was just like blur. It was there all along. You never notice it.
You know, your brain sensor, because it's too much information. It's too much data. I mean, but as soon as you get it in there, it's called like the reticular activator or something like that. I think Tony Robbins said something like that. Gives that same car example, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you're working in an office and you have employees. And is there something that you come across that is a productivity problem that you have to deal with? And how do you go about dealing with that?
You say productivity problem. What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, because we've got to have to define our terms when we're asking a question. You know, if you see that yourself, or you make goals and you're not hitting those goals, right? How do you deal with that?
So I'd have to say with tracking stuff, you know, I think the best way to kind of figure out where something's not going right, it's kind of like tracking your activity. So like one of the things that we do is we track our numbers. So we set a business plan for the week. We know how many days we're going to work. We know how many hours we're going to lead generate. We know how many contacts we're scheduled to make. And we know how many listings we want to take on a weekly basis. So track it. It's easier for you to recognize things. Like, I mean, here's what I tell my agents. When everything's going well, it doesn't really freaking matter. But when things aren't going well, that's when the numbers help, you know? Like, so you'll notice patterns. So you'll notice like, oh man, like I'll give you an example. Like in December, I took a lot of time off. I was doing a lot of personal development. And like my January, February, and March were a little bit sluggish in comparison to other years, but it had to do with all the time that I took off in like November and December, you know? And if I look back at the numbers reflect that.
Right.
So I think it has to do with tracking stuff. And then based on what you track. So I've been tracking everything. I wear a Fitbit now. Like I track how many hours I get of sleep. I track my numbers for my business. I'm becoming more and more fanatical about tracking things to be able to help me as well.
Right. Because once you notice, you know, the numbers and you're taking account of them, you can fix things if you see them a little off and get to the root of the problem. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was looking for. So I think we're just going to jump right into the final four. You ready?
Absolutely, man.
Hey, before we get to the final four, I just want to tell you about Streamlined Podcasts, okay? I could not have a podcast if I didn't work with Streamlined Podcasts. As simple as that. These guys are my go-to. They do all the editing of these audio pieces that you guys are hearing. And I really couldn't do anything without it. I literally tried to start a podcast for about a year, and it was just daunting to me to spend time writing show notes, to do the audio recording, editing, taking out the ums, the ahs, the spaces, everything. These guys make it sound so crisp, so clear at such an affordable rate. And for my listeners and my listeners only, you're gonna be thrilled. If you're ever thinking of starting a podcast or you have a podcast, check them out at streamlinepodcasts.com. Set up a time to speak with them and use promo code Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, and you can get 20% off your first month if you do end up signing up with them. I guarantee you it's going to be worth your while. So what's the worst job that you ever had, Jose?
Well, I've never had like any other job besides, I worked for my dad before I got into real estate, and I basically ran his business. I worked there from when I was 9 to 23. So I've never really had a regular job. I don't want to ever have a regular job. I don't ever see myself. I don't think I would be a very good employee, to be honest. I think that I'm pretty self-motivated. It's rare, but I've never worked anywhere else besides with my dad and obviously the real estate company.
That's awesome. Okay. So you win. You got the, you stumped the question. No, that's great. I love that. That's a great answer. Okay. What is a book that you've read that has given you a paradigm shift? And, you know, and it sounds like there are a lot. So you could pick one.
I'd probably say the most recent one is a book called Traction by Gino Wickman. And basically, it's a really good business book. And it basically tells you like, hey, look, if you want to successfully run a company and be able to get traction in your business, this is what you have to do. So I've been reading more business books. For business, I'd probably say Traction and E-Myth are great books. Mm-hmm. Real estate, I read everything from Dave Lindahl, Multifamily Millions, Emerging Real Estate Markets. I read Brian Murray, Crushing It in Real Estate. I've read Robert Kiyosaki's. That's where I got the cost segregation idea. So I would say that one was big too. From all of them, I've learned something, you know, from the mobile home.
Of course.
I read recently and it said, and this is why I asked you, it said that the cost segregation on a mobile home is more than the cost segregation on a apartment complex. And I read that and I was like, wow, that's really interesting. That's why I sent you that message. I was like, is this like, hey, you really get more cost segregation on a, I asked you which one gets more cost segregation or higher depreciation. And you said the mobile home park, which coincided with the book, which is kind of like, so every book will give you like one or two things, you know? So that was new to me right there. You know, I didn't know that at all.
That's awesome. So what skill or trade would you like to learn?
Probably say to become a better leader. So like one of the things that I'm working on is like really leadership skills, like being able to really help people get to the next level for them. That way we can all basically increase the,
yeah.
Probably say that's probably the biggest thing that I'm working on. Like I know how to sell homes. That's not a question. I know how to get contracts signed. I know how to make money. Now, in order for me to get to the next level, I need to become a better leader. At that point, that will help me take everything to the next level.
100%. You know, I'm reading Jocko Willink. He's got a book and I'm listening to it and I literally just forgot it. So Extreme Ownership, that's what it's called, Extreme Ownership. It's all about leadership and it's all, for me, so, and I'm just in the middle of it and I'm listening to the audiobook. That's probably why I don't like see the book in front of me like every time I open it. So that's probably why I don't remember the name, but that's probably the best book on leadership I've ever listened to. So if you're looking for something, I would highly recommend that.
I've heard great things about it. That would probably be one of the best next ones that I read. Right now I'm very focused on business books, just business. But obviously
he talks about business a lot. Like it's taken from his military experience and he brings it in every chapter, like what's the business lesson and how to use it. Cause he's a business coach as well. So the next question, the final question I have for you is what does success mean to you?
I'd probably say freedom. I think the one thing that I'm striving for is freedom. Like I'm pretty conservative with all the money that I make. And essentially I'm investing a lot of it back into real estate or back into my business. The whole purpose that I'm building a business is to get freedom. That's the whole purpose. I want to do what I want, when I want, and not have any restrictions. So that's what drives me. Freedom, go into that. That's why I bought the 25 unit. That's why I'm looking into mobile home parks. The only reason I'm looking into any of that stuff is for freedom.
Awesome. And you know, that's really what a lot of us are looking for. And I think you found it. And a lot of people we talk to on this podcast have found it through multifamily real estate. And you know, it's no coincidence because there's a lot to be said about the, you know, that's just the potential, the growth potential and the income that's produced from that along with obviously the tax shelter, you know, the tax deductions that come along with it, which really is unlike anything else.
Yeah. I had always heard that there was tax benefits in real estate, always heard that, but no one ever told me, oh, look, the tax benefits in real estate are depreciation, and you can get something called bonus depreciation on your property. And that can be used to offset your ordinary income if you classify as a real estate professional. And that alone to me was like, oh my God, why didn't I figure this out like 3 years ago? I would have saved myself tons of money, but you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah. And we get the right lessons at the right time. And, you know, I'm grateful that we were able to connect, and I'm grateful for you that you joined us today. So thank you for that, Jose. If our listeners want to reach out to you, want to find, you know, the number one broker in all of Ventura County, I mean, come on, people, how can they find you?
I'd probably say add me on Instagram. Go on Instagram and go on Jose Luis Morales. Luis is with a Z instead of an S. So if you just type in Jose Luis with a Z Morales, you'll find me and you can follow me there. Send me a DM and we'll get in contact, you know.
That's awesome. What's fascinating is that, you know, so many people use social media in so many different ways. Like, for example, I'm all on LinkedIn. Like, I'm so heavily immersed in LinkedIn, and I have, you know, 12,000 followers, whatever. And just the amount of business that I do, and I network on that, and I haven't touched Instagram, right? And you don't even touch LinkedIn. I mean, you have an account there, but you know, I just find that it's so fascinating. There's so many different avenues for different people, and it doesn't matter, because whatever you find your niche in, you know, use that, max it out, and then move on to the next one. And then, you know, get good at that.
What I like about the Instagram is that I feel like I can actually get to know somebody, you know, like I feel like, hey, like maybe I don't know anything about your personal life, but maybe like over the years, I find out that like you're married, you've got two kids and stuff like that. So I just feel like I really connect with like somebody on a deeper level, aside from like just a photo or whatever I write on there, you know, like you get to know the personality a little bit better. So I feel more connected.
That's cool. Well, awesome. Well, thank you again. And thank you to our listeners for joining us once again. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. I hope you got value from this. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.